God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. That's the sermon series we're looking at on the first Sunday of the month, What is God? And this month we're looking at the third term, eternal. We looked at God is a spirit in January. We looked at God is infinite in February. And as I said in that sermon, when we say God is infinite, it means he's not limited, and he's not limited by time. And that is this month's sermon, that God is eternal. So we're just going to hear a psalm. It's called the Psalm of Moses, the man of God. It's Psalm 90, where Moses really does look at God who is eternal and what that means to him and to the people of Israel. So let's hear God's word. Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we pass away. Who considers the power of your anger, and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favour of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of your hands. O Lord, you are eternal. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your years have no end, and our years fly away. We stand before you, and we pray, O Lord, that as we look at this attribute, this what is true about you, that you would satisfy us with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad, that you would give us a heart of wisdom by teaching us to number our days, and that we would stand in awe of you and live our lives to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So God is eternal. And I'm going to use the same three headings that I used for God is infinite. I'm going to look at what is it? What is it that God is eternal? Examples in the scriptures and what our response should be. So what is it? Examples, our response. So what is it? When we say God is eternal, what do we mean? Well, what we mean is, simply put, God had no beginning and no end, and is the Lord of time. God has no beginning and no end. God always was, always is, and always will be. That is something we cannot really get our head around. In Isaiah 57 verse 15, it says, the Lord inhabits eternity. Eternity is a continual present, and all of time exists in God. A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, quotes C.S. Lewis, the 20th century Christian writer, and he says, imagine a piece of paper, and it goes that way, infinitely, and that way, infinitely, and you draw a straight line of about 6 inches or 15 centimetres. That's time. That straight line that you've drawn, that is time. And all that paper is eternity. Time dwells in God, all of it, as a continual present. God has no beginning and no end. That's what this psalm says, from everlasting to everlasting. That's just basically a poetic way of saying from forever to forever, or from vanishing point to vanishing point. It just means God is. God is. Archbishop Usher, the Irish Puritan, the first Protestant archbishop in Ireland, said, God's essence is exempted from all limit of time. So again, we looked at infinity last month. Eternity is another way of saying God is infinite with respect to time. We looked at God's knowledge last month. God is infinite in knowledge and his presence is infinite. He fills all space. All eternity is he is in all time, forever. And what do we mean by a continual present? Well, it's a bit of a fancy quote, and I'll have to explain it because it took me a bit to think about it. Terry Johnson, a lovely Presbyterian pastor in America, said, God's being has eternal duration and no succession. What does that mean? When we say God is eternally present, it means all is present to him. So my existence started on the 22nd of September, 1984. I'm 36, I'll be 37 in September. The duration of my existence has been from the 22nd of September, 1984 to today. However, my existence has been a series of successions. Today, I'm one day older than I was yesterday. Tomorrow, I'll be one day older than I am today. I've gone from a primary school student to a high school student to a college to a university to a graduate. I've gone from someone in a teenager to my 20s to my 30s. They're successions. My existence has duration and succession. I get older, I get taller. I had a full head of hair once, now I don't. You know what I mean? God has duration, but without succession. He just is. If he did have succession, the way I've just described, he would be changeable, and God doesn't change. That's next month's topic. So these three first, the first four, really, attributes of God are all interwoven and overlap. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. They all overlap with one another. So God has no beginning and no end. He is the Lord of time. All time exists in him. His being is exempt from the limit of time. And he is eternal with no succession. He exists forever. He has existed forever. And he will exist forever. And that, why is that? Because, well, God, as we define him, is the greatest conceivable being. If at one time God did not exist, then whatever brought God into existence would be greater than God. And so God didn't have a beginning, because it's his nature, and it's his nature to be the greatest conceivable being, as Anselm called him. So that is basically what we mean when we say God is eternal. He has no beginning, no end, from everlasting to everlasting. Eternity past, eternity future, he is God, forever. That's quite a staggering truth, really. And we're going to look at some examples now from Scripture, point two, examples. And I'm going to draw your attention to something. The Book of Psalms is a beautiful book. And one of my favourite psalms is Psalm 103. I memorised it in 2008 with my American friend, Hope, who I met at university. And it's been really precious. And one of the phrases in this psalm is used in Psalm 103. Psalm 103, 17 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him." Those who are left breathless in awe and wonder, those who love God and honour him, God's steadfast love is from everlasting to everlasting. So as long as God existed, because that phrase is in verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting you are God. So as long as God existed, God loved you, if you're a Christian. As long as he's existed, as Elvis, to paraphrase Elvis, you were always on his mind. That too is staggering. That's how long God has loved you, from everlasting to everlasting. And we call this what we looked at last year, election. God chose you in Jesus before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and blameless before him, and in love he predestined you for adoption as sons. He did that from everlasting, before there was anything. He was thinking of you. He planned to save you through Jesus Christ, through the gospel, and he planned to give you an eternal home through the person and work of Jesus Christ. He was doing that from everlasting to everlasting. That's how much God loves you. God loves you as long as he's existed. And he did that, he planned that through Jesus Christ. Because if anyone's saved, it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, Peter says, "He," meaning Jesus, "was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but made manifest in the last time for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." That's actually 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. So Jesus, like us, was foreknown before the foundation of the world. It was God's plan to save us through Christ. It was God's eternal plan. Soak that up today, SVC. That's what God's, that's the best example, the most exciting example of God's eternity and how it makes a difference to us. That God loved you forever and ever. In his eternal present, God loved you. Another example of God's eternity, and I'm going to mention this because we are coming to this. I think this is, I think this will be May's topic, the Trinity. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made but was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So in God, there is God, and there's the Word who was with God and was God. So there's two persons there, but one God. Actually, we know that the Trinity is that there are three persons in one God. And we're looking at this, so bear with me. But Christ, as God, is as eternal as God the Father is, but is a distinct person. It's not that there's one God manifesting himself in three persons. No, there are three distinct persons in one God, one in substance, power, and glory. So Christ, in his divine nature, is eternal. And just a final example, look at, compare God in this psalm that Moses wrote to man. Moses probably wrote this psalm at the end of his life. And he says, doesn't he? Verse 10, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Don't we all know that? It's 21 years since the millennium. You know, just flies, just gone. I left school in 2001, and I feel like I've walked around a corner, and poof, I'm in my 30s, heading for 40. God, from everlasting to everlasting, he sweeps them away as with a flood. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. You know, our life is a sigh, and God just sweeps them away. 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. A watch in the night? That was 3 hours. That's how long a watch was. A soldier would keep watch for 3 hours, and he'd be replaced by another soldier, then they'd be replaced by another soldier to keep their eyes fresh. But that 3 hours to us, that's 1,000 years to God. So to think, the past 2,000 years is 6 hours ago to God. And of course, that's poetic. It's an eternal present. But Moses is using powerful language to make a point. So our years are few. They go quickly. We get frustrated. We look at someone we haven't seen for a few years, particularly if we knew them as a child, and we think, good grief, they've grown. You know, see, we can't believe time's gone so quickly. We wish we'd spent our time better. We wish we'd done things. God never has that frustration. You know, we're made for eternity, but we dwell in time. So we have that frustration, that battle within us. God never has that. Never. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And that's his eternal duration. I'm just looking at this psalm again. When Moses is looking here at God, he sees how sinful he is. The eternity of God makes him realize how sinful he is. He says in verse 8, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. Nothing is hidden from you, because you see everything. You see everything at once. You see what we did yesterday, and you see what we will do tomorrow. So think on that. That God knew the sins you'd commit for the rest of your life after today, and he still chose you. That's how much he loves you. You know, we all joke, don't we? We say, oh, if my wife knew what I was like and what I'd be like years after, she wouldn't have bothered. You know, we joke. God did know what you were like and what you would be like, and still set his love on you. That's the amazing grace of our Heavenly Father. So there's some examples. Meditate on them, soak them up. And I hope you will respond the way Moses did. We're going to look at our responses now. Our response to it is this. God is our dwelling place. God is our dwelling place. That's what Moses writes in verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Moses led Israel out of Egypt through the desert for 40 years, and brought them to the promised land. And for centuries before that, Israel was in Egypt. And for a lot of that time, they were treated as slaves. But God was their dwelling place. Before then, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they didn't have a home. They were just a wandering tribe. But God was their dwelling place, and he was their security, their sanctuary. You know, think about a home. It's the place where you close the door. It's your space. It's a place of sanctuary, a place of comfort, a place of belonging. And our home is God himself. Our home is God himself. John 17, verse 3, the Lord Jesus Christ says, what is eternal life? Jesus says this. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's eternal life. And Richard Baxter, in his book, The Divine Life, where he looks at God's eternity, says this. It is an everlasting blessedness that our souls are made for. We're made for eternity. We're made for eternity. C.S. Lewis said that. He wrote a letter to a colleague and he said, why do we get frustrated at the passing of time? Because we are eternal and we're made for eternity, not for time. Because God is our all in all. God is the only person where fulfillment, where love, where fullness and blessedness is found. It's in the person of God through Jesus Christ, who we come to through Jesus Christ. The second response should be that we number our days. Verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. What does that mean? Well, time's flying by. Time's flying by. Whatever age we are, even if you've just finished school, believe me, you'll start noticing that time just flies. To think it's nearly a year, you've nearly finished your first year of college. Make the best use of the time that we have. Ephesians 5:15 says that. In the King James, it says, redeem the time. Make the best use of every day that we've got. Time is a preparation for eternity. Get ready. Live for Christ. You use every day, spend every day in the presence of God, in the awareness of the eternal God, and spend time with him every day. And get to know God. Become more like Jesus and be more filled with his Spirit. Do all the good you can to all the people you can. Serve God in your generation in holiness and in righteousness. And don't, as Jonathan Edwards says, don't do anything that you would not do if you knew you only had 1 hour to live. If you knew from now you only had 1 hour to live, what would you do? And what would you not do? If you knew that in an hour you'd be stood before the high and holy God, giving account for your life, would you do that? Would you say that? Would you watch that? Would you think that? Well, number your days and get a heart of wisdom. Our third response should be meditate on God's eternity and on the shortness of our life. Meditate on God's eternity. Meditate means to think about it. Just sit and think about it. Take this psalm, take the first four verses, or just Google Psalm 90 and just read it. And just think about what it means that God exists forever and ever and to forever and ever. I think, what difference does that make to me? Because it makes all the difference. And again, to quote Baxter, he said, remember then, Christians, eternity is the matter of your faith and hope. Eternity is your portion and joy. Eternity is the goal of all your desires, works, and distresses. Meditate on God's eternity and the shortness of our life will raise our affections, raise our minds to spiritual things, because that's what we're made for. The old hymn says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full on his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Because the glory and grace of Christ, or the glory of grace of God in Christ, is eternal. And that is what our inheritance is. That's what our portion and our joy is. It's what God's given to us in Christ. And a man who lived at the same time as Richard Baxter was a man called Thomas Watson. And the last sermon he preached to his congregation in the year 1662, he gave 20 instructions to his congregation. And the last one was this. Every day, think about eternity. Eternity is a sum that cannot be measured and a line that cannot be measured. It can't be measured. It's forever. Think about that. Think about that. That's where we're heading to. Before to face the eternal God. And he's given us a way of getting to know him. And it's through Jesus Christ. Who is the eternal God. The eternal Son of God. But became a man. And lived the perfect life and died the death that we deserve to die, so that in him we're justified, we're counted righteous by faith and not by works of the law, that we're adopted into God's family, and we're set apart for him forever, and he will preserve us and make us more like Jesus every single day. Will you come to him today? This is the God who we're going to give an account for. This is the God who is high, holy, and eternal. And eternity is our existence and where we're going. Is Christ your Saviour? Are you ready for that? Have you repented of your sins, taken Christ as your Saviour? Pursue God through him. Do it today. Do it today. If you only had 1 hour to live, what would you do? Come to Christ this very day. And the last response should be, praise our eternal God. Praise our eternal God. Worship God. Don't speculate. You may have some questions that come from this. How does God relate to time? If God is eternal, how does Christ's death apply to him? If God is eternal and it's an eternal present when we die, how does our spirit go into heaven? That's not for us to know. That's too high for us. Louis Berkhof said this, the relation of time to eternity is, perhaps, incapable of solution in our present state. There are some things we just don't understand. So, if you find it difficult to understand, join the club. I don't understand it either. But the eternity of God is not meant to be a puzzle, to be solved. It's a truth that's to cause us to worship. Like all the truths of God, it's to cause us to worship. So worship, don't speculate. And I'm going to quote one more fella, Matthew Poole. He wrote a commentary on the Bible. And on this verse, verse 2, he says this. The eternity of God is mentioned partly because people, by meditating on it, might see their own smallness and come to a greater admiration and reverence for God's holy majesty. This is the foundation of all true humility and godliness. I'll read that again. The eternity of God is mentioned partly because people by meditation might see their own smallness and come to a greater admiration and reverence for God's majesty, which is the foundation of humility and godliness. So they're the two things, two little things. If you remember nothing, come to Christ. And if you have come to Christ, meditate on God's eternity, because if you want to grow in godliness, like Isaiah did, you have to see how great God is and how small you are. Like Peter did, you have to see how great Jesus is and how small we are. But being small doesn't mean we're not special. Seeing our smallness and God's greatness makes us see how amazing God's grace is, that he would save a wretch like us. So God is eternal. We were made for eternity. So come to Christ and receive all that the eternal God has for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you made us for eternity. You made us for fellowship with yourself through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are the eternal Holy Trinity. Thank you. Through Christ, you have saved us. You have forgiven us. You've counted us righteous. You've adopted us. And you've set us apart. And you did all that before the foundation of the world, because as long as you've existed, as long as you have existed, do exist and will exist, you love us. You chose us. So we pray, O Lord, that you plant these truths deeply into our hearts, that we would live to your glory, contemplating, meditating on the eternity of God, to see our own smallness and to come to a greater admiration and reverence for your majesty, and grow in humility and true godliness. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.